Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Don't say as long as you
well,
want.
Well, 28 minutes.
Yeah, well, we don't want to talk. We don't want to hear her for 28 minutes, do we? Who made the chicken?
It's delicious.
Really, I'm not kidding. That's not a joke. Who made it? Raise your hand. Who made that fried chicken? Oh, my. Is it Kentucky Fried Chicken? Yep, you can take the girl out of the streets. Listen, this is so great. I'm always so excited to be in a room with young people. I'm 56 years old. I began my transition in 1980 when it was still illegal, when we were sort of getting arrested, not sort of, we were getting arrested on the streets. And so when I'm in a room full of people, and you're a young person, when I'm in a room full of people like this, who stand up here, in back of a podium and talk about their trans children, I'm just, my heart is as large as the universe. It just opens up to a place that is just foreign to me. And I have these really mixed feelings of like, oh my God, this is amazing. And well, shit. You know, like, there's part of me that's like, well, poo. And I remember that feeling. It's important for me to hold on to that stuff. The reason it's important for me is because it keeps my anger going. It keeps my rage going. So that when there are people in the on the planet that want to stop me from living my life or stop me from marrying the person that I love or stop me from teaching or stop me from getting houses or homes or apartments or getting jobs, when there are people like that that try to do that, then I can stand up to them. Because I'm still pissed off. So I'm able to stand up to them. And also, I'm able to stand up to them in a way that's about education. Here's the thing. We can talk and talk and talk until we're blue in the face about how we need to come together. And that, I think, is important. I think that's the foundation from which we stand. What's going to get us out into the universe and heard is to make sure that we get them to come together. We've got to go out and get them into this room. It's super easy for us to talk to each other. It's super easy because we all believe the same thing. There's nobody in this room that's going, well, she's full of crap, that's not. Nobody's doing that. Everyone in this room is in agreement. And that's great. And it solves a little. What we have to do is we have to find the people, not wait for them. We have to find the people, not stand still while they come towards us. We have to go towards them and find the people that disagree with us so that we can hold out our hand with grace, compassion, and empathy and help educate them. And there's a difference, humans, between education and judgment. Yes? Because it's super easy for us to go, you know what? You're wrong and stupid. I gotta go. That does nothing. That does nothing. If we're going to tell them that they're wrong, we have to tell them why they're wrong. If we're going to tell them that they're stupid, we've got to stand in front of our own reflection and find out why that word is important to us. If we're going to call them names, we've got to be able to self-reflect. Yes? Because there's no word in the English language we do not internalize. Here's what I mean. Anything you've ever heard in your entire life has been recorded. Every single word, every sound has been recorded. And you have internalized. Most of it you believe to be true. That's the sad part. Because what we hear is, you can't. Stop. Don't do that. There's no way. That's what we hear. And so what happens to us, because we're human beings, is we go out in the world, and then the people that try to stop us, we take all of those words and we throw it at them. And it's like spaghetti against a wall. We just throw stuff and hope it sticks. That's not change. That's argument. And I can tell you, just from being another person on the planet, that when somebody comes up to me and all they want to do is argue, I just want to go. I just want to leave. I don't want any part of your conversation. I just want to go if you're going to come at me and argue. I hear so much time and time again about these people who have voted for this human who's pretending to be president. Like he's doing the best he can with what he knows. All of these people, is he here? He could have been sitting right next to you in a house dress and a crown. Is he here? All of these people, God bless you for laughing at that joke, that voted for this human, all I hear is that they're uneducated and they're wrong and they're mean and but that's all I hear. What I never hear is, hey, all of these people voted for this man. Why? What did we do to not help them understand that we're here on the planet? Because they don't understand it. Had they known that, they wouldn't have voted for him. They don't know we're here. So humans, we can sit in this room and be cozy and comfy and talk to each other and praise each other. And I think that's important. That is the foundation from which we stand. And we can give each other these beautiful awards, these talismans that reverberate with history. Listen, I was diagnosed with AIDS over 20 years ago at a time when my doctor said, well, really, I think what you should do is max out your credit cards because you're not going to be around to pay the bill. Which at that time was true because everyone was dying. Now, when I bring this up in my classes, I talk about it a lot. I talk about being trans. I talk about being mixed race. I talk about being married to a cisgender female. I talk about having AIDS. I talk about everything in my classes. And when I talk about this, one of the kids said to me, this was only a couple of years ago, I said, you know, I've been living with AIDS for over 2 decades. And one of the kids said, oh my God, that 80s disease? Thank God that's true. Thank God that's a miracle that's true. Because I remember when you couldn't even say that word. Now I sit in a place where a parent is receiving an award because their child is able to move into a safe space that is about gender inclusivity. That is a miracle, and it's a miracle because of the human experience, because we have created space in a common way. And that's the foundation from which we stand. Now we got to do something else. Now we got to do something else. Now you have to take all of this beauty and all of this grace and all of this kindness, all of this compassion, all of this information, all of this sense of family, and get out. Because that's where they need your help. That's who's calling. That's who needs to be led, guided, taught. And quite frankly, in my opinion, befriended. I had this boy, this is the last story I'll tell you and then I'll go. I had this boy when I was in seventh grade who came up to me during lunch and he said, I'm going to beat you senseless after school. And I went, okay. Didn't know why, no reason. And after school, he did. He beat me bloody. It was the only fight I was ever in. I never knew how to throw a punch. I never knew what a punch was, except for maybe, you know, watching occasionally, you know, Joan Crawford. That was the only... And stage slaps don't work. Don't try them because they don't work. You know, psh, psh. Oh, that didn't work at all, did it? So I laid on the ground for a long time and bled for a long time. And throughout middle school, he beat me constantly, tripped me downstairs. He organized once a troop of humans to dump a bucket of dead fish on me in the middle of the hallway. I still remember that, and I can still smell it. About 10 years ago, I'm on the Facebook, and I get this message from him that says, hi, I don't know if you remember me. My name is Paul. And we met in junior high. And I want to tell you how deeply, truly sorry I am. I don't know why I behaved that way. And I hope you can accept my apology. What can I do? What can I do? And that viscerally changed and shifted the inner space of me because I finally understood what forgiveness meant. And not just me forgiving him, him forgiving him. There are so many people out there, humans, that cannot find the space for self-forgiveness. They don't understand it because they've never been taught it. It doesn't make any sense to them. But you see, as LGBTQI folks, that's how we navigate the planet. With the help of the allies, our Glindas. Yes? We live in a magical, spinning, blue rock made of dust and molecular particles. There is no reason in the world that it should be buoyant. There's nothing holding it up. You stand in the center of nothing that was birthed from the loudest, most joyful, divine sound in infinity. You stand. That's a responsibility. It's not only a gift, it's a responsibility. Take it seriously, angels. It only happens once. Thank you very much for this award. And I want to say, just lastly, that in 1976, I met this human who sat across from me in my drama club meeting. And when I stood up, I saw these green, blue, hazel eyes staring at me. And I knew I had found my home. And 22 years ago, I asked her to be my wife, and she said yes. Together, for almost a half a century, I have been protected and held by this human being. When it was illegal, when people told us that we needed to stop loving each other or they would throw us in jail, when we got married, people came to our wedding and thought it was a play. And I am here to tell you, just like Roxanne believes, it is not me. I married way up. My wife, Chrisanne, is part of my breath. I love you, honey. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you.